This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. I'd like to have you get a piece of paper and a pencil and to write down some of the Bible verses we're going to look at today so that you can go back and re-examine those passages. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated. Kingdom Ministries is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to teaching and preaching the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ risen from the dead, and Jesus Christ coming again and coming to set up a future kingdom, the kingdom of God, which is real, which is literal, which will be established on the earth when Jesus comes someday in the future. You and I do not know when that day is. Oh, there's individuals that often have tried to predict the day, but Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 that no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels, no man, not even the Son. An interesting thing that Jesus himself, the Son of God, said he didn't even know the day that his Father, God Almighty, had set for the day for his return. He did not know what that day or when that day would be. Only his Father knows the day. And today, as we are centuries down the road from the time that Jesus walked the earth with his disciples, we are still anticipating that Jesus will come very, very soon. Every generation has thought that, and there have been signs in the heavens, and there have been signs around us, as Jesus predicted there would be. In Matthew 24, Jesus said that there would be wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That is Matthew chapter 24. I'd like to have you take a look for just a couple moments this morning. We're going to look, first of all, in the Gospel of John and chapter 14. It's a beloved passage where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he's talking to them prior to his crucifixion. He is about to go to the cross. And this is what I want you to observe as you read this passage. Jesus, after Peter made his great confession in Caesarea Philippi, recorded in Matthew 16, starting around verse 13 to verse 16, Peter made a great confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to remind you that when we look at the scriptures, we're going to be looking at Greek and Hebrew. Those were the original languages in which our Bible was written. And to understand the customs of the day and to understand some of the words in Scripture, we need to know what the word was in its ancient language. And when Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi and asked the people to ask his disciples who people thought he was, Jesus was revealed by Peter to be the Christ, which is a Greek word meaning God's anointed. The counterpart for the term Christ, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. That's the Hebrew word for God's anointed. So now in Matthew chapter 16, Peter says, "You are the Christ." He would have been saying in the Hebrew language, you are the Messiah. You are the one that we've been waiting for. The Old Testament, which is the Hebrew Bible, which is all that the people in Jesus' day had, because the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so forth, none of that was written at the time of Jesus. There were individuals that may have started putting things together, but to have a published book or manuscript, it wasn't done. They had the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. And so what Peter said in essence was, when Jesus said, "Who am I? Who do you think that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah of Israel." And Jesus said, on that basis, that was the rock that the church would be founded on. The fact that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And making that statement, Jesus said Peter was so blessed because it was his Father in heaven that revealed it to him. That's who he was. And then Matthew 16:21 goes on then. Jesus begins to tell his disciples. He starts a new message that they hadn't heard before. That he's going to go to Jerusalem. That he's going to suffer at the hands of the chief priests and the elders. And he's going to die. But he's going to rise again on the third day. And he tells them what's going to happen. As we come near the end of Jesus' mortal life, we can take a look at John chapter 14. He has been with his disciples. He's been encouraging them. Yet at the same time, he has told them some distressing things. He's told them he's going to be betrayed. He's told them that he's going to be going away and they don't understand completely. In John chapter 13, he tells Peter, he tells the disciples that he's going away and Peter wants to come along. And Jesus tells Peter that in verse 36, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. It's important when you read the Bible and study the Bible that you look at the context of the passage. The context of the passage is the verses that are preceding where you're reading and the verses that follow where you're reading. You cannot take a verse of Scripture and take it out of its context and just read one verse and try to prove or substantiate anything without it being in its context to know what is being said before and what is being said after. We see this a lot in the political campaigns where people misunderstand something because they take something out of the middle of a person's speech and twist it. And we see this a lot in politics today. We cannot do that in Scripture. And the context of this passage in John chapter 13 and the first part of John chapter 14, Jesus is not going to heaven. Notice, he tells the disciples that he's going to prepare a place for them. In John chapter 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And the context of the passage, Jesus is going to the cross to die, to make a way of salvation possible for all of his followers. Salvation was not possible yet. They could not have life yet. They were still under the law, and the law did not provide life. It showed them what sin was. It identified sin. But Paul describes it to at the Church of Galatia. He says the law was a schoolmaster or a tutor that would lead us to Christ. The way of salvation that God had in mind was for his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world, to be a substitute. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul says, God commended or showed his love to us that while we were yet sinners or enemies, Jesus Christ died for us. He died for us. He died as our substitute. He took our place. Our sin was put on him, and he died in our place, so we would not have to ultimately die for all eternity because of our sin. Jesus died in our place. And God raised him back to life and has elevated him to a position of excellence. He has given him a name that no other individual can have, King of Kings. He died for our sins. And at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In John chapter 14, he starts this chapter out because he has told his disciples he's going to be betrayed. He says he's not going to be with them much longer. He's going away, and Peter is asked, you know, where are you going? Why can't I follow you? And he said, you know, you can't follow me now, but you will after. And he then lays the bombshell on Peter at the very last verse of 13, when Peter says, oh, I will follow you. You know, I'll lay my life down for you. And Jesus tells him, he said, will you really lay your life down for me? Truly, you're going to deny me three times. That's a bombshell. And it disappoints Peter. But so he continues. You have to go into chapter 14 and continue from the previous chapter. And he says, but don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Because he's going to tell him what he's going to do. He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. And the word behind my Father's house is the word that we get, the word household, in God's family. And Jesus is going to the cross to die in our place, to make it possible that you and I can enter into very close and personal relationship with him and God Almighty, creator of the universe, in the family of God. We're going to pick it up here and look at some more of this, because it's a very fascinating and exciting passage that gives us hope for our future. I'd like to have you tune in again next week as we continue this study. And I want you to become a student of the Word of God. Study it, meditate on it, and become a student of His Word.